OTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Miss Barry did her thing. The call was very, yeah, very climatic, very dramatic. That left you on the edge of your seat. And I think this was a good movie for her. You know, after she won the Oscar, she didn't really have too many solid projects after that. And I do believe that all of those movies that she did after she won the Oscar were, she already had signed up for them. So it wasn't like she won the Oscar and then she went and did those projects. She was already committed to those pre-winning the Oscar. So it kind of seemed like she won the Oscar and then she kind of fell off.
Right,
not so much the case. But, you know, once you win an Oscar, people are, like, checking for you to do big things after that.
Exactly.
So it's good to see her back in her realm and giving us great acting like she should and like she has. The Cause is stellar. I do recommend that. Give it a thumbs up. Go see that. Holly's doing her thing, as we know she should. And, of course, that also stars Morris Chestnut. It's nice to see them two together acting. You know, a lot of women like Morris because he's nice looking, but that brother can act. Like, he has chops. And people need to start recognizing that. Seriously, this brother, you know, I put him in the league of a Terrence Howard. He can get there. He has it
in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The second movie I saw was My Brother the Devil, which, you know, everyone knows that I love my horror, but this is not a horror movie. It's a dramatic movie. It's about an Arab family that has, and it follows the story of two brothers. And one brother is very bad. He's into a criminal scene, but he doesn't want his younger brother to follow after him. And he does whatever he can to protect his younger brother, but the younger brother idolizes the older brother so much that he goes and trails into that world secretly on his own, unbeknownst to his brother. And his brother, you know, feverishly is trying to protect him from the world that he knows all too well. He doesn't want the same future for his brother. Very, very excellent, excellent movie. Independence, you know, I love them. They tend to touch on subject matters that the mainstreams don't. My Brother the Devil, it's an independent film, but it's definitely worth seeing. Check it out.
Wow. I have a question for you. You know, there's so much being said about you know, the history has the show The Bible, and the person they cast to play the devil, they're saying that he looks a lot like President Barack Obama. And, you know, there's all this controversy over that. What are your thoughts on that? Have you seen that?
Well, I mean, if you pay attention to some of the things that are said out there, some people actually believe that our president is the Antichrist, seriously. So it could have been a little, you know, play on the joke or play on, you know, what is being said out there in the world. I don't really think anything of it. I mean, that's my president, and I think he's a rock star.
Right, yeah. Okay. All right, TK, well, as always, appreciate you. Ms. Parker,
right.
I know you're on. What's going on, Ms. Parker? Ms. Parker?
Sorry, I have my phone on mute. I'm just talking away.
How you doing?
It's a Monday.
Definitely Monday. What's going on?
I'm doing well. What's good? What's up? How was your day?
It was a long day. It still is a long day. But
I know. We're just trying to get through it, right?
Trying to make it to the end of the day. I saw you Saturday. We had a great time. How was the rest of your weekend? I know you hit up a new lounge Sunday night, right?
Yeah, I went to this new spot. You definitely have to check it out. They do live music on Friday and Sundays. It's called Chef Rob's Upscale Lounge. It's on Roswell Road and Hammond Drive. If you know where Chef Rob's restaurant is, it's right next door. He opened the lounge, and Chef Rob is used to be Diddy's personal chef. So he had a restaurant on Roswell Road and Hammond Drive for about 7 years, and opened the lounge 5 weeks ago. So it was really good. Like I said, he had live music. The guy who performed last week, I believe it's different acts every week. Last week he usually performs at Cafe 290. And I know that you're familiar with that place because they still have open mics on Sundays. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Because you used to perform at 290. So he's there on Saturday nights, I believe. So it was a really, really cool spot. Chill. I mean, decor, really nice. You definitely have to check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's nothing like a nice chill lounge, you know what I mean? You know,
right,
so
right.
Checking that out.
You know, everything turns into a club in Atlanta, so if you find a lounge that stays a lounge, that's always a good look.
Right. Well, let's bring on A-Ron. A-Ron, what's going on in the world of sports?
Yo. Okay, first off, man, Washington Wizards. That's all to say. Washington Wizards. Y'all are balling right now. I was at back-to-back games over the weekend, and the Wizards turned it out, man. They, now, mind you, their competition was the New Orleans Hornets and the Phoenix Suns. But with that being said, they beat both teams, you know, pretty handily. So I had great seats, and it was really, really, really fun games. And, you know, just want to give the Wizards, you know, some props. So big ups to the Wizards. Oh, man, the March Madness is officially here. 68 games. Yeah, so it starts tomorrow, actually. So I'll be glued to that, watching, you know, games every day. I have my final four, which is actually going to be in Atlanta this year. I have no idea who's going to be in it yet, but next week I will mention to everybody who my final four picks are. Speaking of Atlanta, I will be, you know, doing the show live with you, Stephen, next week, you and Miss Parker. So I'm looking forward to that. I will be in Atlanta next week, everybody. We have to do it up big. I'm gonna come down there probably Monday morning, and I'll be there all week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you won't be here this weekend.
I can come over the weekend. It's all right. What's up? Is something going on over the weekend?
You know, it's Steven's birthday.
Oh, snap. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot, my bad, Steven. I ought to make it up to him.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to do that. It's when it's Saturday?
My birthday next week.
So it's actually Wednesday, but he's having a little get-together party on Friday night.
Friday.
Oh, snap. Oh, see, I ain't going to be able to make it anyway because the brother has to work. I don't get off till like 7 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, what's up when you coming in anyways? You coming in from Monday through next weekend, you said?
Monday coming up, yeah. This coming Monday, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be in Atlanta. Yes, I'll be there, definitely. Let's see what else going on. Oh, yeah, Tiger Woods, man. Yo, he has a type. It's official. This brother has a type. He likes Eastern. Did you see his latest? He likes some tall, white, and blonde, y'all. Tall, white, blonde, Eastern European look. I mean, that's just his thing. He likes them like that, like, you know, like Swedish swimsuit modelish types. Anyway, he's dating Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn. So they are officially dating. So congratulations to them, I guess. Yeah.
Then she'll take her chances, I guess.
I know, that's right. He's like, hey, you know, why not? Hey, might as well try it.
Right.
I mean, you know, more power to him. I wish him all the best. The NFL has agreed to pay $42 million. Let me repeat. The NFL has agreed to pay $42 million as part of a settlement with a group of retired NFL players for using their images without their consent. So, this is pretty big. A lot of times the NFL will like show these commercials for like Jim Brown's image or Mike Ditka, you know, like a lot of the older players, and they would show their images, but they weren't asking these guys for their consent. So these guys were like, okay, enough is enough. We need to get paid. paid for this. We haven't gotten paid. It's time to go to court. And they sued him, and they won. So
right.
Congratulations to the retired players. Y'all getting y'all's monies. Congratulations. Monies. Cool. right. More monies. Michael Jordan, the paternity lawsuit that he had recently has now been withdrawn. So this woman who says that her 16-year-old son is Michael Jordan's love child, she's now withdrawn her case, whatever. But
well, he went ahead and paid that off.
Yeah.
right, exactly.
It's all on the news out here.
Is it all over the news? Oh, damn, okay.
She's been all over the news out here talking about how she, her son needs to know, and yeah.
I have a question. Does little 16-year-old little boy, does he look like Michael Jordan at all?
Yeah, he's going to look like
him. I love him.
Yeah, and he's been going on YouTube making videos, and I believe it.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that. Okay, Mike, you might want
to
get
videos
talking
about how he needs to know his dad and, you know, his life.
What?
And the best, he doesn't know his dad. Yeah.
Wow. MJ,
but she was married. She was married at the time she had him.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, this is Michael Jordan. I'm not going to have a second chance to hook up with Michael Jordan. This could be my meal ticket. Oops, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. My bad. Anyway, people are actually thinking it. I just said it. Sorry.
She's a flight attendant.
So, I said
she's a flight attendant. So I guess they met on the flight. I don't know.
Wow. Hey. More power to it.
Right.
So hopefully this all works out in the end, because, you know, there's still a 16-year-old kid that's, you know, involved. So hopefully the grown-ups will work this out, and, you know, and this young man can, you know, at least know who his dad is. So hopefully it all works out. Mm-hmm. Also, Ray Lewis has officially joined ESPN. He will be traveling to all of the Monday Night Football games every week, doing commentary,
okay,
among other things with ESPN. So congratulations,
Ray
Lewis.
Congrats to him.
Right. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the fall with ESPN, and big things, you know, I'm sure are ahead for him. And last but not least, I wanted to talk about actually two more things. I'm sorry. First thing, Miami Heat, 22 games in a row. Congratulations, Miami Heat. Yes, I'll actually be at a in Miami. Yes, I will be in Miami. Hear me clearly, y'all. I will be in Miami.
Sorry,
y'all. In 2 weeks. So in two
weeks,
I will be in Miami, yes, going to a Heat game. So I'm looking forward to it. Yes. And I will mention that more later. But just wanted to put it out there. And also, Elvis Dumervil. Have y'all heard of this player's name? He's an NFL player. He's a defensive lineman, formerly of the Denver Broncos. Anyway, let me explain this to y'all real quick. All right. Elvis, who is a brother, by the way, he's African-American. I know Elvis' name. Okay. All right. Elvis had to fire his agent recently, after his agent mixed up Elvis's paperwork, which forced the Denver Broncos to waive him and also waive his $8 million contract. So Elvis not only lost his job, but lost $8 million, all because his agent did not fax the contract that he signed to the Broncos in time. There was like a time issue with it, and if it wasn't turned in by a certain time, then the contract was null and voided. So the contract got null and voided, and Elvis is out of a job and out of $8 million and out of an agent because he fired him. So
I just thought
that was, yeah. Agents, come on, y'all, step it up, please. This is people's livelihoods here. $8 million is a lot of money, and I just think it's crazy that you did not have this man's paperwork done in a timely fashion. I mean, come on, really? So, anyway, Elvis, brother, I wish you all the best. I'm sure that you will land with another team. Don't know if you'll make $8 million, but, you know, I'm sure that you'll get paid well And next time, I hope that your agent is, you know, a little more time. Just
on
be
point.
Better with time. That's all. Yeah, just be on point when it comes to people's time. That's all. Cost time. At the end of the day, time is money, literally. Time is definitely money. And that's it, man. That's all in the world of sports.
All right, hey, Ron. We'll appreciate you as always. We'll see you next week. And I'll talk to you next week. So have a good week, okay?
You too, and happy early birthday, my brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. All right, Ms. Parker.
All right.
Janera is not on tonight. She got a little busy and was able to do her updates, but she said that she will have her website updated next week. I mean, by tomorrow, lunchtimehour.com. Find out where you can get, you know, your different looks and your discounts and whatnot. You know, she holds it down with that. So, Ms. Parker, we have a little bit of time. Let's talk about what's going on in the wonderful world of entertainment. What do you
have? Sorry, guys. I just dropped my phone because I was rushing home from the gym to make sure I got on the call on time. And I left my door open. So I'm sitting here, and the door just starts opening, my front door. I'm just like, trying to run to the door because I was scared when I was walking in. Crazy. I know the big news right now is the whole Beyonce thing. What do you think about that? I know you shared some of it with me, and I've been seeing a few of what's going on Facebook. So,
her new single called "Bow Down." It rhymes with itches, and basically, I finally heard this song. I heard it on YouTube while I was at the gym today because everybody's been talking about it so much. And you know, it's very different from her women empowerment songs like "Single Ladies" and those kind of things. This one is really just kind of talking about her and, you know, kind of on her B-boy thing, like, you know, just because, don't think because I took a break that I'm just a wife. You know what I mean? Basically, she has the game on lock kind of thing. Well, Keisha Cole, who, you know, there's been some controversy since the whole Super Bowl thing where she made her comments about Michelle Williams' performance. She tweeted something in regards to how Beyonce kind of pushed the game on this song and what happened to women sticking together and all that kind of thing. Well, of course, Beyonce's fans, stands,
are going in on her.
They sent a picture of Keisha Cole's biological mom on some red carpet back when, you know, it was in her wild days with her. She was laid out with her legs open and told her to jump back in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then they're telling her she needs to get a hit and stop worrying about other people. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things on Instagram where, I mean, but do you think Keisha Cole, what do you think the problem is with Keisha Cole commenting? Does she have the right to comment? What are your thoughts on that?
I like Keisha Cole, and I think that, you know, most recently she's been doing a lot of comments in social media, which I think she has too much time on her hands, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Keisha Cole had grown a lot. She came from a really rough situation. She really made, you know, a lot of good decisions as far as changing her lifestyle, and actually moving past a lot of that stuff. But I think she's being drawn into the negativity because she's on social media too much. Like, why are you sitting there for hours going back and forth with fans, you know, people who don't even know you? Why do you do that?
Yeah, she's responding and going back and
forth. Yeah, I mean, she goes back and forth, and she's on there for hours. That's beyond anything that I can understand. So I think for me, the fact that she's doing that is what's causing. You know, for example, the energy you put out, this energy you're going to get back. So she's being a lot negative lately, and I think she's getting a lot of negativity back from, you know, not just her fans, but, you know, the other artists, people who support them. I do think that, you know, it could be some personal stuff that's going on because sometimes when you're not happy, you lash out, you know. So I don't know what's going on with her. But I think people are too obsessed with Beyonce, too. Like, I'm not the type of person who idolizes people. So it's just weird to me how people are just so obsessed with everything Beyonce does. And I think Beyonce know how to play into it. You know, she's a Virgo. so I think she uses certain things to her advantage. She's probably coming out with an album. So she's, you know, everyone's talking about Beyonce right now. As you can see, Beyonce doesn't go a couple of weeks without something happening where that allow people to bring, you know, talk about her 24/7. So I think it's all part of, you know, part of her marketing strategy and actually how she strategized her career. And
yeah.
And people are just obsessive. I just, you know, I don't get it.
Right. Yeah, well. Wait, did you hear the song? Did you get to hear the song?
No,
Okay. I'm interested.
Did she mention any names?
She just gave shout out to Pimp C and someone else, people that passed away, you know. At the end, she kind of gave shout out to them. You know, she remembered. That was a positive thing.
So she didn't. Oh, she didn't mention any of the artists.
No, she didn't say.
Because I saw an Instagram picture where, it was like, Carrie Hilton, Keisha Cole. They were all like in the background.
Yeah. I don't know. These things, man, they're a trip.
I mean, it's
so
everywhere.
It is. What else is going on in entertainment?
I'm not sure if you watch Love and Hip Hop, but that was on tonight. And Yandy got proposed to for all the Love and Hip Hop fans. She finally, after a million years of being with that dude, words can't even express. Anyways, moving forward. Supposedly, Kim Kardashian is having an issue with, well, she's not going to have an issue, but she's saying that pregnancy is a lot harder than she thought it would be. She's struggling with that a little bit. You know what I wanted to talk about when Chike was on? Did he talk about Temptations? I want to see that movie.
No, he didn't say anything, but I don't remember him saying anything about that.
Okay. I think Kim Kardashian is in that movie.
Oh,
she played like a counselor or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can come back. Brandy. I'm back. I heard what you said.
Hey, GK, did you talk about Temptations? I want to see that.
No, I definitely want to see that. I told Steven last week I have this love for Journey Smollett. I think she's an awesome actress. Anything that she's in, I'm automatically, like, glued to. And I've seen a small snippet, more like the long trailer.
Mm-hmm.
She gives, like, a slam-down performance in this. Lance Gross does, too, outside of, you know, for his television work. But he really goes there in this movie. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them two act together.
I saw somebody, I know somebody who went to the premiere at his house this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
and they said
mm-hmm.
it was great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They said it was a great movie. So I'm not a huge Tyler Perry fan. But I definitely want to see it. I definitely want to see this movie because I think it's kind of not his norm. You know what I mean? It's not that overacting, overly emotional type movie.
Okay.
I mean, I think it would be a good balance.
Yeah,
so,
I think this is the movie that he needed to make.
Yeah. I definitely think so. So I can't wait.
Ms. Park, what about Lil Wayne? What's going on with that situation?
I don't understand because, you know, one day he's fine, the next day he's not. So
right.
I have no clue. You know, he was hospitalized on Tuesday while shooting a video, and he was released on Wednesday, and I heard he went in a binge and was back in the hospital the next day. So he got out on Wednesday, and they found him passed out on Thursday morning, early morning, passed out from, I guess, cough medicine, you know, you serve scissor or whatever. And so he was supposedly hospitalized again and not really breathing on his own, and now he's out again. I just hope he gets it together, you know, because, I mean, who wants to die from being addicted to the painkillers and cough syrup? And that's just ridiculous. Like, you know, life is really too precious for that, and I really hope he gets it together.
Carla B. says that she kind of has the inside scoop there. She said that our program director, by the way, she said he's still in ICU. He's been there for the past 5 days. You know, TMZ's been kind of reporting it, but she said they had it wrong. He was sick, but not as bad as they were saying.
Oh, okay. I mean, but you know, people are going in on TMZ saying that they are just a gossip magazine. TMZ does report a lot of stuff that turns out to be right. You know,
they were the first.
Can I just say something? I'm sorry, but. Can we just keep in mind he has a CD coming out on the 29th?
That could be
we
part
know
of
how
it.
This, yeah, yeah. That's all I want to say.
Okay. I mean, but I will definitely hope that somebody wouldn't put their life in that much jeopardy just to promote a CD. I mean, if you're in an ICU, that's something that can be confirmed. So I do definitely think that he has a drug problem. I do believe that, and I do believe that he is probably sick. You know, like when Justin Bieber got hospitalized, no one said, you know, it was just because he has a tour. He was hospitalized because he was dehydrated from whatever. So I think sometimes we don't take issues seriously because we just kind of, oh, they have a CD coming out. I really do think he has a serious issue.
Right.
Not saying that it's not part of his publicity stunt, you know, marketing. It may help his marketing, but I definitely think he has a problem because he raps about it, and that's pretty much all he talks about. He is a talented person. He's one of my favorite, and I definitely hope he gets it together because I don't want to see, you know, another entertainer die from, you know, foolishness. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I definitely think it sends the wrong message, too, you know.
Yeah, to his fans and to people. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Malachi Rivers right back after this.
You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Natural gifts of artistic flair are rarely combined into one and allow such vivid expressions of individuality as with the unique sound of MC Malachi Rivers' music. Behind a lion-driven force to live out its dreams and the sincere humility of unique individual, Malachi Rivers is what you would call a true artist. As an MC, he is compelling, and as a performer, engaging beyond any musical genre. He performs what is in his heart, and that alone is a major hit. Now, last year, he released his highly anticipated debut EP entitled Stereo Sound Escape that is available via iTunes, Amazon, and where digital media is sold. Please help me welcome Malachi Rivers. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being on there.
No doubt.
You know, it's interesting. I always find interesting in the show is that people who I've, like, kind of followed on Twitter, Facebook, social media, and things like that, and then to actually have them on my show is, like, kind of surreal kind of thing. So thank you for being on tonight.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Well, let's go to the beginning. I know you grew up in PG County, Prince George County in Maryland, where you saw a lot at an early age, drugs, abuse, et cetera. And you say that music became your escape. Tell us about that. Tell us about those early years for you.
Music, yeah, it was just something that was always in me. You know, I kind of grew up in a seeing a lot of things, you know, from one end of my family, and it was always an escape. I would just go into my room and just either turn the music up or blast it or put my headphones in and just sit back and just go into my own little world. And, you know, even growing up, I would just always be writing and just, you know, just coming up with things and songs and stuff like that. And then I went to a performing arts high school and ended up, you know, just learning, you know, just different arts, and whether it was acting, whether it was singing, whether it was dancing and stuff like that, you know, just being involved with the arts, and it's just something that just stuck with me.
Oh, okay. Definitely interesting stuff. So tell us about going to performing arts school. How is that different from traditional school?
I pretty much went to FAME in Maryland. You know what I mean? It was one of those schools where it was like, you know, people dancing and singing in the hallways and stuff like that or whatever, and to be a part of that environment, you know, I sit back and I'm like, you know, realize how amazing of an opportunity that was, you know what I mean? You had to audition to get into the school, you had to go through that process, and just, you know, just to be amongst, like, these kids or whatever who were, like, just amazing at what they did, whether it was acting, whether it was dancing, whether it was singing or anything like that, and just to be part of that and learning your craft by, like, you know, people who were professionals, like, in the industry, and they were actually out teachers. You know what I mean? And, like, traveled the world and just people who we were studying with and learning our craft.
And, you know, now I'm, like, grateful for it because it's like when I stepped out of it, you know, I was able to be like, dang, I knew a lot. You know what I mean? I came,
right.
I had a great background training. So, yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Now, you were able to tour the world, travel the world, performing. Tell us about some of your experiences, who you traveled with.
Well, my biggest traveling opportunity happened with Marcus Strickland, a phenomenal jazz musician. And he actually found me online, and we were actually just talking back and forth and stuff like that, and I was telling him exactly, you know, what I did and, you know, my style and things like that. And we met up one day, just got the vibe and stuff like that, and he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm putting together a group called the Twilight Group, and, you know, I wanted to do an album and stuff like that. And, you know, at the time, I was just like, okay, cool, didn't think too much about it. And, you know, we ended up doing a show, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, you know, jazz band, and I ended up being the voice of the band. You know, I did some spoken word. I did hip-hop, rap, and stuff like that. And we actually ended up recording an album called Open Real Deck. And it was pretty much paying homage to, you know, just all the sounds and all the different flavors and styles that he grew up listening to that his father would actually play on. You know, back in the day, they had a thing called Open Real Deck that his father used to load up these reels and just play music from all different walks of life, whether, you know, it was like from the islands or whether it was from like funk, jazz, and things like that. And it was like, you know, it was like a culmination of like all these different sounds. And he wanted me to be the voice. He wanted me to write words for it, wanted me to speak about it and have a certain vibe with it. And we actually ended up recording an album. And next thing you know, I was flying all over the world, traveling, performing with him in Europe and different parts of the world and stuff like that. So, it was a blessing. And, I mean, I learned so much. And it was interesting because it was a different type of studying, a different type of performing, I would say. You know, being an MC or just any, you know, type of performing popular music, you tend to have your stage. You tend to have your set. You're on stage for about, you know, roughly, it depends on the type of show you have. It can go anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour or maybe even shorter, things right. like that. But, you know, I had to pick up my stamina in the jazz world. You know, there's sets. So it was just like there was one show, and then it was just like 30 minutes later to an hour later, you were doing another show. And then there was some shows, some nights it was three shows, you know what I mean? So it was like, it was right. really, really like, you know, strenuous and tedious. But I thank God for that because I'm like, my stamina on stage right now is like crazy. So because of that, so.
So you were born Greg Owens Jr. Where did Malachi Rivers come from?
I try to make it short, but one time I was actually performing for one of my friends, and I was telling her, I was like, yeah, you know, I got this new piece and stuff like that or whatever. And then she was like, all right, let me hear. So I just started spitting for her, and this dude came up to me, and he was like, what's up, Malachi? And I was just like, my name is not Malachi or whatever. Then he was like, it should be. And then he kind of just walked away. And I never thought about it too much. And I was just like, all right, cool, whatever. And then, you know, I was like, I'm looking for a different stage name. I'm looking for, you know, something that fits me and stuff like that. And then the name popped back over my head again. So I started doing research. You know, I knew Malachi from the Bible and things like that. But I really started doing research on the name and understanding the Hebrew meaning means messenger. And I was like, wow. I was like, maybe that's what dude was saying, because I was dropping a message. And I was like, that's all I ever wanted to do anyway with my music and what I do and stuff like that. I wanted to, you know, put out good message to people, you know what I mean, put out the right message. And then Rivers came about because I just wanted it, you know, to be continuous flow. So I just put it together, the flowing message. There you go.
I like that. So you studied performing art school in Maryland. Later you were in a group, the group disbanded, and then you worked in satellite radio for a while. Music. For a minute, and then you decided that you're going to move to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
What was the moment that said, okay, I'm gonna return to music, and I'm going to relocate to New York?
Well, yeah, you know, it was one of those things where it was just like when I was doing radio at the time, I always knew, you know, that was my passion. I fell into radio, and I'm grateful for it because it was a blessing, and I had a ball doing it. But it was one of those things where it was like I was interviewing artists, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. But, like,
right, yeah.
I was never really intrigued with the whole part of actually just, you know, being the one to talk to them and asking them, you know, oh, what is it like when you on stage and stuff like that or whatever, I would always just be more intrigued in talking to them from an artist standpoint and not necessarily, you know, like a radio personality standpoint where I'm just trying to get stuff out of them. And I found myself, you know, just like, you know what, this is really, really, you know, what I want to do. I know I'm supposed to be a performer. I know this is what I want to do. I would always, you know, get into these conversations and stuff. And I've interviewed a lot of artists and major artists during the time. And, you know, it was just always just would get into these, like, conversations that had nothing to do with actually, you know, me actually inquiring about them per se. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm dropping, da, da, da. But it always be, like, some side, like, stuff, like, whatever. Like, you know, just, like, really from an artist standpoint that only artists would talk about. And I knew right then and there. So, and what happened was XM Satellite at the time or whatever was Radio One, which is based on, you know, Kathy U Station. They were a third-party partner with XM Satellite Radio at the time. And, you know, the contract was ending with them because they pretty much housed all the urban channels at the time, and the contract was ending with them. So, like, everybody on down, from my boss on down, like, had lost their jobs and stuff like that. And at that point, I was just like, you know what? I've always wanted to be in New York. I know I wanted to perform, and I know I wanted to come up or whatever. So I was like, what's the perfect time to go? You know what I mean? So that's what I did. Yeah. I just packed it up and rolled out and took it as a sign. So.
And how did that move? How did that enhance your career or propel your career?
Man, I'll tell you like this. I'll say I was born and raised in Prince George's County, Maryland, but I grew up in New York.
Wow.
And I say that, like, seriously, like, I learned so much about myself, who I was as a person.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go into situations thinking and believing certain things and, you know, and thinking you have confidence, you know what I mean? And you don't realize that, like, you know, how much confidence you have until you actually put in a situation where somebody's testing you about
right.
who you are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's happened a lot, you know what I mean? I did the whole struggling artist thing, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, struggling hardcore, you know what I mean? Just back and forth or whatever, you know,
right.
everybody got their story. So, you know, it's just like, you know, I was part of, I could say I had that New York experience. Again, I mean, I had my rough times, very hard times up in New York or whatever, but, you know, I wouldn't take anything back because I'm like, it definitely made me who I am as an artist now.
I hear that. Well, let's talk about the new EP, the current EP. I know you released it last year. Stereo Sound
Escape.
Yes, sir. On iTunes, Amazon, where anywhere digital media is, you'll find this project in. Tell us about the process, who you worked with. I know it was a labor of love for you. Tell us about some of what it took to birth this project.
Man, this project has been, like, going on forever.
Yeah.
Just trying to put it together, you know, and I'm sure many artists, you know, especially being an indie artist or whatever, you understand that process. Like, you can be working on a project for about 4 years and nobody
okay.
even know, you know what I mean? It's like, when your stuff coming out, it's like,
right,
man,
right.
it's taking time, you know. And Stereo Sound Escape is definitely a labor of love. And I named it Stereo Sound Escape because I decided to not even listen to the radio or be influenced by so many things that, or feel like I needed to sound so commercial, or feel like I needed to do this and do that, or whatever, in order to have people hear my voice and what I was trying to do and my style. So that's why I named it Stereo Sound Escape, because it's an escape away from what you hear on the stereo, and that whole sound and stuff like that, or whatever we hear now. And so for me, it was a freeing process because I was able to come to the studio and do whatever I wanted to do, flow how I wanted to flow, and just did it. You know what I mean? And I was just like, you know. Hopefully, you know, people gravitate towards it. But for me, honestly, it was more of an emotional achievement for me to feel like, you know, this is something I wanted to do for a long time, and this was a labor of love for me, and to finally complete that. You know what I mean? And you know, and I pray that, you know, that the music gets out there and a lot of people hear what I'm doing and stuff like that or whatever, but it was much bigger than that for me. You know what I mean? It was definitely more of a personal thing for me to just do this for myself. And I'm grateful for that. And, yeah, man, but, like, I worked with a lot of people, Brandon Durrett, who pretty much crafted all of my tracks and albums and stuff like that or whatever. And we just pretty much was knocking things out, vibing and stuff like that. He solely worked with me. There's another young lady, Jovia Armstrong, who did some tracks on the album as well. Phenomenal female producer and jazz, classically trained. And she's never really done hip hop. And she was like, you know, let me step out, give me a chance or whatever. Let me see what I can do. And I love the stuff that she was doing. Same thing with Brandon. Brandon was like, you know, a house techno producer. Never really did hip hop style or whatever. And I know for a fact I was definitely looking for something different. So that was to work with them too was just like amazing. And the sound that he gave me and whatever is just it's really set in. You know what I mean? So but yeah, I've been fortunate enough to like work with some amazing artists as well. A guy named Carlos Ricketts Jr., amazing vocalist, who's sung and like written for everybody or whatever. He pretty much was my go-to man, for any background vocals, any stuff like that that I needed. And that's how I'm typically writing, you know, even though I'm doing hip-hop, I structure a whole song. I write all my hooks. I write all my lyrics and stuff like that. And I think of background arrangements and vocals and stuff like that or whatever versus me just getting on a track and let me spit, let me da-da-da-da or whatever. I'm thinking about the whole song and how it's crafted. And typically how I write anyway, it's just more based off of how I'm thinking the song is going to come across live in a live performance. And that means a lot to me. So, I worked with a lot of other people. One of my good friends, Nelson Ellis, we did a song together called New World. Part two, Schizope Speaks, and Nelson, you know, he's a well-known actor from HBO's True Blood, and I wrote a spoken word monologue for him to do at the end, and he pretty much nailed it, you know what I mean, and, you know, so hopefully, you know, I'll be able to play that later for your listeners and stuff like that or whatever, but yeah, I mean, just worked with some phenomenal people. Doodlebug from Diggable Planets, worked with him. And actually, you know, we're still working on a song that we're going to release that's going to be coming on my mixtape coming up. So, yeah, been fortunate enough to work with a lot of great people.
Well, I know the new single, Where I'll Be, featuring Parker Brown. We'll be listening to that in our next half hour. Tell us about that song real quick.
that song was, it was about... You said what?
So I love that song, by the way. I told you.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Thank you. Yeah, that song was definitely that's probably one of my favorite songs, like, ever.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me. And the song was actually just talking about for anybody or whatever. I was in a situation, and, you know, then I heard other people in the same situations or whatever, where it's just like, you know, unrequited love. You know, you loving somebody so hard or whatever, and it's just like, you know, but... you know, the person doesn't see that way and things like that or whatever. So, and that's what the song was saying, you know, I know you don't love me the way I want you to love me, but you know what? I'll still be there. You know, whenever you're going through hard times, whenever you're struggling, that's where I'll be. You know what I mean? And that's what the song is about.
Well, we'll be checking it out in the next half hour. Look, Malachi, much success to you in the future. Stereo Soundscape, get it now, everybody. You know, love it. Malachi, we can learn more about you at MalachiRivers.com. I know you tweet, Malachi Rivers, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, thanks again, man. You have a great night, okay?
Thanks, man. You too. Appreciate having me.
All right. We'll take a quick commercial break. We're back with Mark Eisenhart after this.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes? Or just want to read and catch up on BET news? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C.,
202-0018-1211 or phone BEC Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Mark A. Eisenhart is a sponsored athlete, transformational speaker, actor, and spokesperson garnering international publicity on TV, radio, and print. He has appeared on over 70 programs, including the CBS show The Doctors, American Ninja Warrior, and Jeff Probst Show. His experience lands as a human interest story, lifestyle segment, health and wellness feature, and inspiration transformation exclusive. He is a great example to me of someone who took control of his life and is using his story to inspire and change the lives of people all over. Please come and welcome to the show, Mark Eisenhart. Welcome.
Hi, thanks very much. Thanks very much for having me on the show. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much. You know, I had first heard about your story maybe about a month ago, and then obviously in preparing for the show, have read more. You described yourself as being morbidly obese at one point, weighing as much as 455 pounds, and then you made that decision after your father passed away to make a change. Tell us about that. What clicked for you that said, okay, I got to do something?
Well, you know, I'm a guy who, I've been in great shape at different times in my life. I played football and wrestled in high school and college, and I played for a short time in the minor leagues with the Portland Raiders, but I also struggled with an eating disorder and with weight management. So in my 30s, my life started to spin out of control. I was very much engaged in a self-sabotaging lifestyle, and food was my drug of choice, although there at the bitter end, I started to add gasoline to a diesel fire and was abusing drugs and alcohol, too. So my dad was my best friend, my hero, my true north, my greatest teacher, and the experience of watching him beat cancer to die of liver disease just about gutted me. So at the time of my rock bottom, I weighed 455 pounds. I had diabetes. I had a 90% loss of feeling in both feet from diabetic neuropathy. I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and an eating disorder. And as you can imagine, I wasn't in control of my life. My eating disorder was in control of my life. So after that experience, after I watched my dad die, I decided I wasn't going to do this anymore. I wasn't living at the time anyway. It was only a matter of time before I had a massive heart attack. So I am proof that your whole life can change in an instant. And for me, that instant was when I decided to take control of my health and restore myself to the kind of vibrant health and well-being that I enjoyed during my prime.
Let me ask you, because, you know, I think a lot of people who may not struggle with weight, they see someone who's 455 pounds or close to that, and they say, "How does a person get that big?" Now, you were a former paramedic and firefighter, football player. How did you get that big? How did that happen?
It was a combination of things. You know, I am a product of PTSD, post traumatic stress disorder. I worked in the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston as a paramedic intern, and then I worked out at Jacoby Station in the Bronx as a paramedic extern, and I worked out in the largest fire protection district in the state of Oregon. So I was an archetypal guy who worked in emergency services and who never did the work of processing being in the fire service is the second most stressful job in the civilian world. And I didn't do the work of processing all the stress that was adding up, that was piling up, and I wasn't dealing with it. So as it continued to pile up and I continued to not deal with it, pretty soon I was, you know, engaged in a self-sabotaging lifestyle. And I want to go on record as saying I went 40 years without ever tasting alcohol. I just had no interest in it in college and, you know, no interest in being a social drinker. And so when things were going to hell in a handbasket, as they were very quickly, and food was no longer fixing whatever, you know, I was trying to avoid at the time, I was obviously self-medicating with binge eating, with processed foods, and I had become completely nocturnal. So I was sleeping during the day, and I was up all hours of the night. I didn't have anything to do except eat, you know, frozen pizzas and crunch and munch and all that stuff that was killing me. Then it went from bad to worse very quickly, and I started abusing painkillers and sleeping pills and alcohol, and it was all, you know, a combination of two things, all the stress that had piled up and backlog that I never dealt with during my career. And I had a great career, but I just never processed that stuff. I was decorated twice with a Medal of Valor and a Community Service Award for Heroism. And then when my dad got sick, it just went out of control very quickly. And I just, you know, I lost it. You know, it's been said that you don't know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have. And I got to find out after my dad's death just how much strength I had in reserve. But in order to do that, I had to hit my absolute rock bottom.
Absolutely. So you're 455. You say, okay, you know, your father passed away, and rest, you know, RIP to them. He passes away, and you say, okay, I have to make a change. What's the first thing you do?
Well, you know, there's an expression out there that says, jump and the net will appear. And the most important thing that I did was I took a leap of faith, and I did something I hadn't done in 11 years. My dad did not let me down one time in 40 years. If that man said that he was going to do something, he did it. If he said he was going to be somewhere, he was there. So I turned to the one man who had not let me down one time in 40 years, and I did something I hadn't done in 11 years. I said a prayer. I didn't say that prayer to God, the God of my understanding or my higher power or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. I turned to the one man who did not let me down one time in 40 years. So that's where it started. I asked him for help, and I took a leap of faith. I had to begin to get my head around the possibility that I could lose that weight again, because I had convinced myself that it wasn't going to happen. You know, I don't know if you can imagine what it's like, but at 455 pounds, you're not living, you're dying, you know. So that's where it all started. And then what was integral to that, Stephen, was meditation, too, a willingness to get still and to quiet my mind and to get that subconscious mind under control.
I'm going to ask you about meditation. Earlier in the show, Chike Evans, who's on the show, works for the show, he was saying that it's something he's trying to practice, meditation, and it's something that he's been working towards. How are you able, for someone who probably didn't meditate up to that point, to finally be able to center yourself to be able to do that? What was your process there?
Well, let me tell you, it was very begrudging and very reluctant at first. You know, I didn't want to sit and be still for any length of time at all, but I was in a partial hospitalization program, and I met with a guy who was in a group session with me there, and his name was Paul, and he said, "Mark, I want you to sit down in that chair and do absolutely nothing but breathe." And I'm like, "Yeah, right. Why in the world would I do that? What in the world is that going to do?" But after he told me to do it about half a dozen times and then threatened to hit me with a 2x4, I decided to do it. And the more I did it, the better I got at it. And the better I got at it, I realized it was working. And I developed that willingness to get comfortable with being uncomfortable for the very first time in my life. Because what I was doing, whether it was drugs and alcohol or overeating or, you know, the other self-sabotaging lifestyles behaviors that I was engaged in, what I didn't have was that willingness to just sit and be still and be present in what's going on inside my body. I was doing whatever I could to distract myself away from that. So once I developed a willingness to do it, I got better at it, and I started to realize the power of it.
Well, in a little over a year of you making these changes in your life, you combated a lot of the health issues you had, the diabetes, the high blood pressure. A lot of that you no longer had to take medication for. Is that correct?
That's right. At one point, I think I was on something like 12 or 15 pills. So I reversed the diabetes. I got rid of the high blood pressure, the high cholesterol, the anxiety, OCD, depression. I had a 90% loss of feeling in both feet from diabetic neuropathy. I have a return now, 100% feeling in both feet. So it was the combination of things like lifestyle changes and a plant-based whole foods diet, but also what most people would categorize as Eastern healing modalities like Reiki and energy work, like emotional freedom technique and tapping, craniosacral therapy. And I think it's actually a combination of all those different modalities hitting me at different times with variable stimuli that was the catalyst to me healing as fast as I did, because I did all that in 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. So to this day, how much weight have you lost?
215 pounds. I'm currently about 245 right now, and I'm glad you asked, because I've embarked on a second transformation now. I'm working with Tom Terwilliger. He's my coach. He's a former Mr. America and two-time Mr. Olympia contender. And Tracy Lynn Cowan is my personal trainer. She's a Canadian figure competitor based out of Vancouver, B.C. She's back and forth between L.A. and Vancouver. And we're working right now with the goal that I'm going to shred down to 210 pounds and 7% body fat. I've got I've been in a total of 8 magazines, and I've got some other print media exposure coming up here and some international publications in Canada in May in a magazine called Optimize. But I'm going for the cover of Men's Health magazine because, as you pointed out, I've done this hopefully in a way that inspired other people to benefit from my experience and take control of their own health. And I can't see a better trajectory than a guy who is morbidly obese and a test door to the cover of Men's Health magazine. Because if that doesn't inspire people, I don't think anything's going to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I know that obviously your diet had to change, and I know you've cut out a lot of things out your diet, and even you're vegan now and eating 80% of your food raw. Why was that route so important to you?
Well, let me just clarify one thing. I was vegan. I was raw vegan for a little over 2 years, and that diet definitely served me tremendously for the weight loss and for the transformation.
Right.
But I recently decided to reintroduce eggs and fish back into my diet.
Okay.
So I'm still on a plant-based whole foods diet, but I'm no longer vegan.
Okay, I got you.
The big 50-cent word is here. I'm ovo-lacto-pescatarian, ovo referencing eggs, pescatarians referencing fish, and I use some goat cheese, so that's where the lacto comes in. But I'm advancing my career on all fronts, and I'm especially psyched to be working as a spokesperson for Warrior Force. They're a manufacturer of plant-based whole foods, nutritional supplements, and superfoods. So I got to the point where that raw vegan diet that served me so well for the weight loss and transformation was standing in the way of my goals for my genotype to advance my career as a sponsored athlete. I'm not saying it wouldn't work for other people. I'm just saying it wouldn't work for me. It's not working for me. So now I have eggs and fish back in my diet.
Okay. Now, how often are you working out? I know you work out a lot now. What's your schedule?
So I'm on a periodization program right now that has been designed by my trainer, Tracy Lynn Cowan, to ramp me up for the transformation program that Tom Terwilliger, my coach, has created. I currently train 6 days a week. I take Sundays off. And to give you a typical day, like today, I got up in the morning early and I did my had my green smoothie. I made a green smoothie in my Vitamix using Warrior Force protein powder and all their Elite Green and their Warrior Green Foundation mix. And then I did sprint intervals over at the high school over where I live, high-intensity sprint intervals. I take a couple hours off, and then I go to the gym and kill it for about 90 minutes in the gym doing – today I did legs and a little bit of core. So I'm averaging now 6 days a week of training, and it's a combination of a traditional approach to muscle building through weight training, but also – functional movement training using the TRX system, using some other functional models, because as an actor, I've stepped away from my career right now as an actor because sometimes in order to move forward, you got to step back. But I want to be doing things that are along the lines of, I'll be frank, I'm going to be the next American action hero. So when they reboot the Jason Bourne franchise in a couple of years, I want to be cast as Jason Bourne.
You know, it was interesting you said that because I was going to ask you. I know you're going into acting, and what would be your dream role? And you answered it. But you know, you've already shown that you can achieve almost anything. So I expect to see you in that movie. Let me ask you, for someone who might be listening tonight, or who will listen later on, and they are even if they're not at 455, but they're obese, they're morbid obese, and they don't know where to start. They don't, you know, they've done yo-yo diets, they've done different things, and they just can't get it. They can't grasp it. What advice do you give to a person who just desperately just doesn't know what to do?
Well, I would say the very first thing, of course, I have to say is that they need to consult their physician and take whatever direction their doctor gives them. But what I believe that everybody could benefit from, whether they have 50 pounds to lose or 250 pounds to lose, whatever it is get the processed foods out of your diet at all costs. Do it as soon as possible. If you have to go in and clear it out of your cupboards, your refrigerator, whatever, get the processed foods out of your diet as soon as possible at all costs. And the other thing I would tell people to do, too, is just there's a lot of different ways you can introduce yourself to meditation, but I believe that, and this is largely born out of my own experience, that we live in a culture of mindless eaters. We're not present when we're eating. You know, we're watching TV or we're texting or we're playing video games or whatever, and there's a lot of people out there that if they just took the time to slow down and really be still and be honest with themselves and develop that willingness to get quiet, I think it would help them tremendously. So those are the two things that I would say above all else I would encourage people to do that want to make those kinds of changes in their lives.
Wow. Well, Mark, what can you, how can you sum up your life today after losing the weight, being more centered with yourself, and, you know, all these wonderful opportunities to come your way? How can you summarize what's going on?
Well, I got a lot of things that are on my plate, as you pointed out. Over 70 appearances on TV and radio, 8 magazines. I got 4 more on deck. I've got 30 interviews coming up over the course of the next several weeks, and I'm going back to northeastern Ohio, which is where I'm originally from, in April. There's going to be a short documentary, but I guess the most important thing is a series of 3 books, which are going to be adapted for film, the first of which will be out later this year. I'm really excited about paying this message forward. I'm advancing my career as a spokesperson for Warrior Force, so you're going to see a lot more energy invested in that. Me getting into the best possible shape that I can to ultimately go as far as I can as a sponsored athlete. I'm going to focus almost exclusively on mountaineering. In my heart, I'm a climber. I started climbing in my 20s, and I did search and rescue. So you're going to see me bagging some 6,000 and 7,000 and 8,000 meter peaks. But I'm in Los Angeles now, mostly back and forth between Portland and L.A., and I believe that ultimately this next transformation is going to put me into the kind of shape that I need to be in and get the kind of publicity once this first book is out that I'll be able to compete with the rest of the talent down here in Los Angeles. So I'm not kidding when I say this. I've wanted to be an action hero my whole life. I wanted to be a superhero my whole life. So I'm a battering ram, Steven. I'm not going to stop until that happens. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. I'm down here in Los Angeles. I'm going to do the work. I'll be in the trenches for a long time. I know that. There's time and grade. But I'm going to do this to be the next American action hero, to be that guy that I've wanted to be my whole life, and to hopefully do it in a way that inspires other people to really show them one thing above all else. I've known my whole life that everything is possible. I got to prove it 3 years ago, and I'm about to prove it again.
But just make me one promise, that when you're promoting your new movie, that you come back on the Stephen Knight Show.
Oh, you got it. Absolutely. No problem. Better yet, I'll do it in New York City because I'll be on a tour, you know, and I'll be able to do it in studio, and I'd like to meet you.
Absolutely. I would love to. I'm so inspired by your story. I want to thank you so much for being on tonight. And for more information on Mark Eisenhower, you can go to GetEmpoweredNow.com. There's a link on our Facebook page. Mark, have a great night and continued success to you.
Thank you so much. Empowered, spelled with an I, just for the benefit of the listeners. Hey, listen, if you're ever out to L.A., please let me know. You know the trickiest part of Los Angeles, just as an aside, being a bachelor down here, man. Let me tell you, it's cutthroat.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a single guy. So ladies, listeners, if you're on there, look me up on Facebook, Twitter. Steven, I started working with a matchmaker in L.A. here, a woman who owns a company called Isis Introductions, because I don't want to do this alone anymore. So hopefully the next time that you have me on the show, I'll have my wife sitting next to me. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I have a great one, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Good night. We'll be right back after this with Steven's playlist.
Folks, you know I love indie films, and the other day I ran across one called Beer and Seed. It has edge. It's about an older man who returns to college, and it doesn't go well. It even includes this comedy song called I Love the Fat Chicks. I got it off of Amazon.com. You can download it. I rented it. Or, you know what, you can go to www.beerandseedthemovie.com. Indie films are awesome. Beer and Seed has edge. Rent it. I'm not kidding you. It's the greatest thing.
Well, now it's time to go on to Steven's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured during this segment.
Each week we select artists to play on our playlist, and tonight our playlist features songs by both independent and major artists, including Malachi Rivers, James Lamar, Drake, and many more. If you're interested in being featured, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com, attach one or two songs, one or two promotional picks, and remember that all songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. Now, the first song is by Malachi Rivers featuring Parker Brown, entitled Where I'll Be. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
Dear love, despite what you verbally seek, I hear an old cassette tape on repeat. Struggling, surviving with each other. Could have been cruising the world if I'm many lovers. Bourgeoisie of Paris, can you please pass a great coupon? But the late night talks in the bed and on the couch, no one around me and you talking about home improvements, Picasso artworks and amusements. Still you rolled out despite the time spent. Told me I was just a friend, Vince Marquis, me. If the journal now a brother got poetry, concrete walls, African bars and Harlem Street. Perception is the key to dealing with reality, but this was home to me. I guess to you too. Hey yo, search for the next one across the sea. If you ever get hurt, I hope you look for me. Hidden blessings could have been a quicker healing process if I ignored you. But the fact of the matter is, I love you. The one thing I'm trying to do is live in truth. But damn you, ego bruise. I ain't never been in a situation like this before. Not letting me in when I was knocking at your door to your heart. And the beast stop connection like art and art. Can't critique, gave it all up, white like defeat. If you ever wanna hop in the ring with me again, I'll be your ass kicker, punch your back, coach your fan. After you done, all you can't just stand. Cause all I ever wanted was to be.
sweet stylistic enemies. Helicopter via social monopoly. Electric persecution through TV. We're late with beef, but full is his belly. Ayo, too many truths in the Midwest, but not enough in the Southeast. A wicked plot to obtain your brain. Mind control through pain. Ayo, gotta get self-awareness. Even when the system makes you feel irrelevant, rimadazzing on catastrophe. Thinking in two visionless seats. Ayo, questioning what is reality. Listening to the streets. I guess that you should be the new me. You only sell your soul when you can't pay attention for free.
A new
cut the species. Polar bears see when babies drowning on delivery. Nowhere to go, King Rock, Tim's in the city. Not part of their anatomy. Not enough people rocking the mic lyrically. Speaking on the world eloquently. Times are massive warming globally. But we focus more on Britney, Donna, Rosie. Attacking each other verbally on sexuality. We battle mentally, but losing spiritually. Cause the real corporate shake hands economically. Money's a blessing, but greed becomes a god. And God we trust the hypocrisy. Cause if we really trusted them, we would just be. Won't be too much on earth to see. If we keep on having God complexity. I said, won't be too much on earth to see. If we keep on having God complexity. Hey, yo.
Perception and reality, twisted elegance await me at the corner, at the street. I am the beat that never sleeps. I am the heart that gets skipped over by dirty feet on hot concrete. My cardboard box tells a story. I've seen breakbeats persecuted by police. I've seen rain fall down into the ocean. Waves roar with anger, washing up missing strangers. Danger! Danger! I call little babies savior in a manger. I am right every time I give oxygen to your mind. I am the treasure that you can always find. Open up your eyes. The eyes on verses with lies. There is hope with compromise. Let little children rise and dance shadows in permission skies. Let ego lay down in submission. For your only mission should be admission into a new institution of solutions. Let atomic bombs cause no harm. Let oil spills be sealed. Let Wall Street be free. Let bullying cease. Let equality be for all peace. Let it be. Let it be.
Forever my lips. Long as I'm swimming in Benjamin. Yes, I have no limits.
said perception love, know you come back again. I know you can breathe, but I mean you're gonna need the oxygen. I damn not gave you an overdose on my own medicine. I took a sip of your tea and I ain't been right up since. As I think to myself, what it be is it heaven sent. Let's put the past behind us, then go far away where nobody can find us.
Fuck a fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same, I never changed it. No new niggas, nigga, we don't feel that. Fuck a fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same through the money and the fame. Cause we came in the game with no landing and changes. These fuck niggas was taking in 10 different ways. They see you just smiling your face. Smiling your face. You wanted me up, name and time and replace. I'm smoking a fire, my nigga, you know that it's fire. You smell it as soon as I blaze it. Burning a pound, burning a pound, burning a pound. Yeah, it's going down, it's going down, it's going down. Started from the bottom, now we here. Had a dream about a car, and when it got it in a year. All black trucks, when we pull up to the Lear. All black coupe, I look like Bruce when I'm steering. Hope the homie Drake don't get pissed, but niggas never ever put your man on songs like this. And I probably said no to it before, but I made 20 million, so we should probably go on tour. And I just seen Waka the other day, he wasn't tripping, we just talked about the money we've been making. Cause we
started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here.
It's a bunch of young niggas, man, we all doing
now
this shit.
Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we here.
We all up now.
Started from the bottom, now my whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom,
real
now we
shit,
here.
Real shit.
Started from the bottom, now the whole team.
Well, that was Steven's playlist. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in tonight and, you know, supporting us to do every week. I want to give a special shout-out to Malachi Rivers. Check him out, MalachiRivers.com, and Mark Eisenhart, who's made a complete transformation in his life. Check him out at GetEmpoweredNow.com, and Empower starts with an I. There's links on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/The Steven Knight Show. Check it out. My birthday week, y'all. I'm going to have a great time. I plan on it anyway. Y'all keep me in your prayers. Ms. Parker, we're going to do a big this weekend, huh?
We are. We're going to be starting Wednesday. Let's get it.
Yes, I'm with it. It's my 23rd birthday. Wow. Time flew.
Yeah, sure.
What'd you say?
I said 23 all day.
Right. All day long. Let's talk. What's your week look like outside of the festivities? Anything big going on?
No, it's just work. Just trying to get through the work week, like always. One week at one day at a time.
Exactly. One day at a time. We survived the Monday. That's what's important. We survived the Monday.
Exactly.
Survived the Monday. Yeah. Our prayers are going with Lil Wayne. Definitely want the best for him, his family. I know he has kids, and just thought about that. Want to shout him out. But I'm going to stop rambling. Next week we have some great guests on, so make sure you tune in. I've completed the script for that. So it's going to be a great show, another great show. Thanks again, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.
Take care, y'all.
You're so fresh and so clean.